Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Ram Goldar, and today Maseches Zvachim, Daf Tzarihei, the 11th Perek, Dam Chatas. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on the previous Daf taught that a garment with Chatas blood, which was removed from the Azorah and became Tameh, must be torn to remove the Tumah so it can re-enter the Azorah for Kibbutz. Similarly, a Kli Cheres in which Kachim was cooked, which became Tameh outside the Azorah, is punctured to remove its Tumah so it may re-enter the Azorah to be shattered there. Finally, a Kli Nechoshes, a copper vessel in which Kachim was cooked, which became Tameh outside the Azorah, must be broken through to re-enter the Azorah for Merika Shtifa, purging and rinsing. Since these processes, Kibbutz and the others, must be performed on a beggar or kli, respectively, the Gemara clarifies that they are damaged in such a way that the tumah is removed, but they retain their beged or kli status regarding the cleansing process. Thus, a beged with chatas blood is ripped while leaving the size from a forest, a kerchief. A kli cheres is punctured with a hole the size of a shorash katan, a small root, and a kli nechoshes is broken through and then hammered closed. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Echod shebishabu ve'echod she'iru l'socha roseach. Whether one cooked in the kli or poured hot broth into it, and whether the meat was kachim kachim or kachim kalim, the kli requires mariko ushtifa, purging and rinsing or breaking for a kli cheres. Rav Shimon holds, this is not required for a kachim kalim, although he agrees that the flavor which becomes nosar must be removed. A braisa darshens a pasuk to teach that merely pouring broth into a kli, which imparts flavor but does not constitute cooking, requires merika ushtifa. Rami Bar Chama asks, "Tlo ba'avir tanur, if one hung kachim meat in an earthenware's oven's airspace, must the oven be broken? Did the Torah decree to break an earthenware vessel, a bishul below bilua, for cooking without absorption, meaning in which the mere act of cooking was done, even without absorbing any flavors such as meat cooked in an oven's airspace?" The Gemara clarifies that in the reverse case of bilua below bishul, absorption without cooking, meaning hot broth poured into a kli, breaking is definitely required. And point number three, there was an oven grease with a coating of animal fat, and Rabbi Bar Ahilai forbade eating any bread baked subsequently in that oven, even to eat it with just salt, lest one may come to eat it with kutach, a dairy dip. This was challenged by Brice, which forbids kneading dough with milk, and if one did, the bread may not be eaten at all, mipnei hergal avera, because it leads to sin to eat it with meat. Similarly, one may not grease an oven with a sheep's tail, and if he did, the bread baked in the oven is forbidden, achiyasik asatanur, until he fires up the oven to burn the fat away. This last clause disproves Rabbi Bar Ahilai's ruling that bread baked in such an oven may never be used. Ravina asked Ravashi, since we have proven that flavor can be burned out of an oven, why did Rab rule to shatter pots used for cooking chametz before Pesach instead of burning them out? Ravashi answered that Rav held the brisa referred to metal ovens, but cheres cannot be purged of absorbed flavor. Alternatively, an earthenware oven may be purged because hisikum mebifnim, its firing up is inside it, but a cheres pot cannot because it's fired up on the outside. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah of the previous Daf taught that a garment with chatas blood, which was removed from the Azorah and became Tameh, must be torn to remove the Tumah so it can re-enter the Azorah for Kibbutz. Similarly, a Kli Cheres in which Kachim was cooked, which became Tameh outside the Azorah, is punctured to remove its Tumah so it may re-enter the Azorah to be shattered there. Finally, a Kli Nechoshes, a copper vessel in which Kachim was cooked, which became Tameh outside the Azorah, must be broken through to re-enter the Azorah for Merika Shtifa, purging and rinsing. Since these processes, Kibbutz and the others, must be performed on a beggar or kli, respectively, the Gemara clarifies that they are damaged in such a way that the tumah is removed, but they retain their beged or kli status regarding the cleansing process. Thus, a beged with chatas blood is ripped while leaving the size from a forest, a kerchief. A kli cheres is punctured with a hole the size of a shorash katan, a small root, and a kli nechoshes is broken through and then hammered closed. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Echod shebishabu ve'echod she'iru l'socha roseach. Whether one cooked in the kli or poured hot broth into it, and whether the meat was kachim kachim or kachim kalim, the kli requires merika ushtifa, purging and rinsing or breaking for a kli cheres. Rav Shimon holds, this is not required for a kachim kalim, although he agrees that the flavor which becomes nosar must be removed. A braisa darshens a pasuk to teach that merely pouring broth into a kli, which imparts flavor but does not constitute cooking, requires merika ushtifa. Rami Bar Chama asks, "Tlo ba'avir tanur, if one hung kachim meat in an earthenware's oven's airspace, must the oven be broken? Did the Torah decree to break an earthenware vessel, a bishul below bilua, for cooking without absorption, meaning in which the mere act of cooking was done, even without absorbing any flavors such as meat cooked in an oven's airspace. The Gemara clarifies that in the reverse case of balua balua bishul, absorption without cooking, meaning hot broth poured into a kli, breaking is definitely required. And point number three, there was an oven grease with a coating of animal fat, and Rabbi Bar Ahilai forbade eating any bread baked subsequently in that oven, even to eat it with just salt, lest one may come to eat it with kutach, a dairy dip. This was challenged from a brice which forbids kneading dough with milk, and if one did, the bread may not be eaten at all, mipnei hergal avera, because it leads to sin to eat it with meat. Similarly, one may not grease an oven with a sheep's tail, and if he did, the bread baked in the oven is forbidden, achiyasik asataner, until he fires up the oven to burn the fat away. This last clause disproves Rabbi Bar Ahilai's ruling that bread baked in such an oven may never be used. Ravina asked Rav Ashi, since we have proven that flavor can be burned out of an oven, why did Rav rule to shatter pots used for cooking chametz before Pesach instead of burning them out? Rav Ashi answered that Rav held the brisa referred to metal ovens, but cheres cannot be purged of absorbed flavor. Alternatively, an earthenware oven may be purged because hisikum mebifnim, its firing up is inside it, but a cheres pot cannot because it's fired up on the outside. All right, so now we go to our siman daf tzadihei, and our standard siman is a tzahal tank commander. A tzahal tank commander, so here goes. The tzahal tank commander, who was hungry from all the effort needed to shoot a precision shot the size of a small root into an earthenware kli that was tame outside the mikdash, was dismayed when told his favorite mug needed mariko shtiva after pouring hot kutching broth in it, and that he couldn't even have a piece of bread because the earthenware oven was greased with a coating of animal fat. Once again, slow motion. That Tzahal tank commander, that must be on daf tzadi hey. The Tzahal tank commander, who was hungry from all the effort needed to shoot a precision shot the size of a small root into an earthenware kli that was tame outside the mikdash, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses removing tumah from a kli by damaging it to return to the Azor for kibos or from rikav shtifa. Thus, a beggar with chatas blood is ripped while leaving the size for a kerchief, a kli cheres is punctured with a hole the size of a shorish katan, a small root, and a kli nechoshes is broken through and then hammered closed. So, the Tzahal tank commander was hungry from all the effort needed to shoot a precision shot the size of a small root into an earthenware kli that was tame outside the mikdash, was dismayed when told his favorite mug needed mariko shtifa after pouring hot kachin broth in it, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, echot shebishobo ve'echot she'iro losocha roseoch, whether one cooked in the kli or poured hot broth into it, and whether the meat was kachin kachim or kachim kalim, the kli requires mariko shtifa, purging and rinsing or breaking for a kli cheres. Rabbi Shimon holds this is not required for kachim kalim, although he agrees that the flavor which becomes noser must be removed. A brisa darshan zapasit to teach that merely pouring broth into a kli, which imparts flavor but does not constitute cooking, requires marika ushtifa. So the Tzahal tank commander, who was hungry from all the effort needed to shoot a precision shot the size of a small root into an earthenware kli that was tame outside the mikdash, was dismayed when told his favorite mug needed marika ushtifa after pouring hot kachin broth in it, and that he couldn't even have a piece of bread because the earthenware oven was greased with a coating of animal fat, which reminds us, there was an oven grease with a coating of animal fat, and Rabbi Bar Ahilai forbade eating any bread baked subsequently in that oven, even to eat it with just salt, lest one may come to eat it with kutach, a dairy dip. So once again, the tank commander, who was hungry from all the effort needed to shoot a precision shot the size of a small root into an earthenware kli that was tame outside the mikdash, was dismayed when told his favorite mug needed mariko shtiva after pouring hot kachin broth in it, and that he couldn't even have a piece of bread because the earthenware oven was greased with a coating of animal fat. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf tzadi off. So the simon daf tzadi off is an exit sign. So here goes. The kohen carrying chatas blood and oblad who cannot decide whether to go through the tighter exit, that must be on daf tzadi off, exit sign, yitzia. The Kohen carrying Chattas Bat and Obad, who could not decide whether to go through the Tadir exit or the Mekudesh exit, to go to the Mizbeach, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Tadir Mekudesh Eiz Mehem Kodem, between one item which is more frequent and one which is more sacred, which takes precedence? For example, would Zrika of the Tamid's blood precede the blood of a Chattas since it's Tadir, or would the Chattas' blood take precedence since it's Mekudesh? So the Kohen carrying Chattas blood and oil blood, who could not decide whether to go through the Tadir exit or the Mekudesh exit to go to the Mizbeach, look through the exits to see a Kohen bringing a kometz of Nadava oil onto the Mizbeach, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Malchokas of oil can be donated as an offering, and then what is done with the Shemen offering. So the Kohen carrying Chatas blood and oil blood, who could not decide whether to go through the Tadir exit or the Mekudesh exit to go to the Mizbeach, looked through the exits to see a Kohen bringing a komitz of Nedava oil onto the Mizbeach, while his friend sprinkled some Nedava wine onto the fire. Which reminds us, Shmuel says, Hamaznadiv Yain may be Mizalf al Gabay Ishim. One who donates wine as an offering brings it and the Kohen sprinkles it onto the Mizbeach's fires. The Gemara objects that he'll invariably extinguish the fire, which is forbidden. It first answers, Kibub Mixas Woshme Kibui. Partial extinguishing is not called extinguishing and is not prohibited. The Gemara objects, Rabba Bravua said, that one who removes a single coal from the Mizbeach and extinguishes it is liable. It first answers the cases where there is only one coal, whereby he completely extinguishes the fire. Alternatively, Shmuel's reasoning is kibui de mitzvah shiny. Extinguishing the Mizbeach fires is different and is permitted. Dav Tzadi Beis, so the simmer Dav Tzadi Beis is a tzav, a turtle. So here goes. The cone with a turtle-shaped stain, turtle, that must more on Dav Tzadi Beis, tzav. The cone with a turtle-shaped stain on his beggar from the blood of a chatas, who is on his way to launder it, which reminds us, the 11th parak begins, Dam chatas shenitas al beged. If blood of a chatas spattered on a garment, har zeh tahon kibus, then this garment requires laundering. Although the pasuk only discusses nechalos, chatos which are eaten, the law applies to pinimios, inner chatos which are burned as well, because Torah sachatas, the law of the chatas teaches, Torah achas lekol chatos, there is one law for all chatos. So, the cone with the turtle-shaped stain on his beggar from the blood of a chatas, who was on his way to launder it, got distracted as he noticed a turtle carrying a chatas open to the heichal with the blood still on its neck, like a klisharis, which reminds us, Rabbi Avin asked, what's the halach of a bird chatas whose blood one brought into the heichal what was still in its neck? He explains that since birds have no kabbalas adam, and the blood is applied directly from its neck, is its neck like a klesharis, so its blood is invalidated by entering the heichal like blood of an animal chatas whose blood was brought into the heichal in a klesharis, or dilma, or perhaps the bird's neck is like an animal's neck, about which we darshan that midama amrachmana v'opasara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said from its blood, not from its meat, that its blood is not disqualified when it's brought into the heichal while inside the animal's neck. An attempt to resolve this inquiry is deflected. So the Kohen with the turtle-shaped stain on his beggar from the blood of a chatas, who was on his way to launder it, got distracted as he noticed a turtle carrying a chatas open to the heichal with the blood still on his neck, like a klisharis, and didn't see that he was going to bump into a Kohen crouching down and gathering blood from the floor that had spilled from the neck of another chatas of, which reminds us, Rabbi Avin asked another question. If blood spilled from the neck of a chatas of onto the floor of the Azara, and one gathered it, what is the halacha regarding sprinkling this blood? Do we say Hashem merely did not require a klisharis for the blood of a chatas of, so he may gather the blood from the floor and remains valid for hazah? Or perhaps Hashem disqualified using a klisharis for the blood of a chatas of, and instead required applying its blood directly from its neck, in which case blood which spilled onto the Azara floor would be disqualified. Daf Tzadi Gimel, so the simmer Daf Tzadi Gimel is a train chugging along. So here goes. When the conductor of a children's train chugging along, that must move on Daf Tzadi Gimel. When the conductor of a children's train chugging along giving tours of the base of Migdash realized the mechatas he was carrying became tame and didn't know if it could still be used, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Malchokas, if mechatas becomes tame, is it able to be matahir? So when the conductor of a children's train chugging along giving tours of the base of Migdash realized the mechatas he was carrying became tame and didn't know if it could still be used, he slammed on the brakes, scaring a Kohen shechting an animal who got blood on his clothing that would not require a kibbutz, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nitas min hatzavar al habeged. If the blood spattered directly from the animal's neck onto the beged without kabbalas adam, it does not require a kibbutz. And we learn that kibbutz laundering is only required for blood which was received in a kli and is fit for sprinkling. So when the conductor of a children's train chugging along, giving tours of the base of Migdash, realized the mechatas he was carrying became tame and didn't know if it could still be used, he slammed on the brakes, scaring a Kohen shechting an animal who got blood on his clothing that would not require a kibbutz. While another Kohen caught the rest of the blood in two kalim, each catching less than the shir hazah, which cannot be used. Which reminds us, the Gemara says the Mishnah's requirement of ruyu hazah excludes kibo pachas mekadei hazoi bechlizeh upachas mekadei hazoi bechlizeh, a case where he received less than the shear needed for sprinkling in one kli and less than the amount needed for sprinkling in another kli, teaching that the blood in these two kelim are invalid and cannot be combined for hazah. Daf Tzadi Dalet. So the simmer Daf Tzadi Dalet is a hunter. So here goes. The hunter, that must mean one Daf Tzadi Dalet, tzad. The hunter wearing leather garments he made from the animal hide he laundered after it had been spattered from the blood of a chatas, which reminds us, in the Mishnah of the previous Dav, Rabbi Yehuda said that if chatas blood spattered onto animal hide mishahupshat, after it was skinned, it requires kibbutz, but Rabbi Lazar disagrees. And a bright Rabbi Yehuda darshans include anything similar to a beged, a garment, which is ruhi l'kabel tumah. It's fit to be makabel tumah, even if it's not currently susceptible to tumah. It will be if he decides to use it as is. Therefore, a skinned ore must be laundered since it can contract tumah if the owner decides to use it as is. For Belazar darshans, then it must be like a beged, which is currently susceptible to tumah, whereas skinned ore is not. So the hunter wearing leather garments he made from the animal hide he laundered after it had been spattered from the blood of a chatas took great pride in his hard leather pillow he could wash on Shabbos by pouring water on it, which reminds us, a mishnah forbidden pouring water on a hard leather pillow on Shabbos. Rav explained, kol kibbutz deleis le kiskus loshmei kibbutz, any laundering which does not include rubbing is not considered laundering. So the hunter wearing leather garments he made from the animal hide he laundered after it had been spattered from the blood of a chatas took great pride in his hard leather pillow he could wash on Shabbos by pouring water on it, after he was told that pouring water on a cloth pillow is its kibbutz, even without rubbing, which reminds us, Rava said that any kibbutz without kiskus, rubbing, is not kibbutz. The Gemara asks, Ihaki beganami, if so, it should also be permitted to pour water on a cloth pillow, yet the Mishnah Shabbos prohibits it. It answers that for cloth, its wetting is its laundering and is prohibited even without rubbing. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Which stuff do you win that blood spattered directly from the animal's neck onto the garment without Kabbalah Sadam does not require kibbutz? That's on Duff. Tzadi Gimel. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you win a chatas precedes an ola and even a chatas a oaf precedes an olas behema? That's on Duff. Tzadi. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you discuss sprinkling wine offerings on the Mizbeach and the concern about extinguishing the Mizbeach's fires? That's on Duff. Tzadi Aleph. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do you have a machlokas if one donates shemen as an offering and then what is done with the shemen offering? That's on Duff. Tzadi Aleph. Good. Number 5. Which duff do we discuss the din of bread that was baked in an oven that had been greased with animal fat? That's on duff. Tzadi Hei. Good. Number 6. Which duff do machokes mechatas which became tameh is able to be matayer? That's on duff. Tzadi Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which duff do we discuss requiring mariku shtifa for pouring hot broth into a kli? That's on duff. Tzadi Hei. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn called Tadim Chavero, Kodim is Chavero? That's on daf? Pay test. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you discuss removing tumor from a kli by damaging it to return it to the Azor for kibbutz or from Riko Shtifa? That's on daf? Tzadi Hei. Great. And number 10. Which daf do we learn that Kohani may eat kachim meat however they like, whether it's roasted, overcooked, or cooked? That's on daf? Tzadi. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.